We left off on the last episode with a voicemail that cut off before it could really answer any of my questions. In fact, it left me with even more questions than I had to begin with.
Listen, I can't say a whole lot. They've been watching me.
I couldn't help but think that something, or someone, didn't want Ellie to tell me more than she already let on. I had one piece of information. The Carmichaels were the descendants of the San Montanes, one of the founding families of the town. So as far as I was concerned, I had to find out more about them. But the abrupt ending of Ellie's voicemail made me uneasy. Had I stumbled into something much bigger and more dangerous than I initially thought? But I'd come too far to give up now. My name is Mara Safi, and you're listening to Untold, the story of Crimson Hill. I tried calling Ellie back a few times, but I couldn't reach her. And what's strange is that I wasn't even getting voicemail. It was like someone had shut the number down, and that scared me. I decided that I had to check up on her, which was gonna be hard because I didn't even know her last name. When I tried to search up her phone number online, I didn't get back a single result. Then I tried to find Olivia. After all, she'd given me the number, so surely she'd know where I could find Ellie. But after a fruitless half hour, during which I'd even probed her parents about her whereabouts, I still couldn't find her anywhere in or near the bed and breakfast. Next, I asked Blossom Blanchard if she had some sort of yellow pages or something for the town. It turns out she did not, but she told me that there was a town directory in the post office that was a few minutes' walk away from here. So I put on my jacket, grabbed a few things, my phone, my audio recorder, and, for good measure, some pepper spray. The trip down to the post office was fairly pleasant. There were kids out and about on the streets playing and making noise. Not a lot of cars once you got toward the center of the town. It all seemed so normal. People were talking loudly on the phone, sitting outside a couple of cafes I passed, walking their dogs. And I don't know what I was expecting, but I kept thinking about what Ellie said. A tight leash on the town, secrets that they didn't want getting out. But what did that have to do with the founding families? I'm just finishing a history book, I thought, not trying to crack a case. There were a few people walking around the post office when I got there, but I made a beeline toward a small white-haired old man sitting behind the counter. We exchanged pleasantries, and I asked him where I could find the town directory. He pointed me in the direction of a table set up in the corner by the front window. And there it was, propped open on the table, a dusty-looking book with yellowing pages. I made a comment to the old man about how it looks really old for an updated directory. He laughed and said, "Updated. Right." Then he asked me who I was looking for. This is when it got kind of weird. I told him I was looking for someone whose last name I didn't know. I told him I knew her first name and her employer. When I said that, the coloring in the old man's face changed. He didn't say anything else. So I just made my way to the directory. I stood there a while devising some sort of method. First, I looked up the Carmichaels. Under the first and only entry was the address and phone number for the Carmichael Brothers Auto Repair Shop. It felt kind of silly that I was surprised. What did I think? They'd be listed under Carmichael Crime Ring? I took a picture of the entry and kept flipping, trying to scan the rest of the listings for an Ellie, or even an Ellen. That's when it happened. My eyes started getting tired, mechanically scanning the pages for her name. But for a split second, I thought I spotted an Ellie Torres. It took me a moment's hesitation to register, but when I tried to zero in on the name, the book slammed shut in front of me. I jumped back in shock I hadn't done that. I looked around to see if anyone else saw it, but no one seemed to be bothered, even a little bit. And then someone spoke next to me. It was just a hello, but that startled me too, because I didn't see anyone walk up to me, but I turned my head and I saw two men, both tall, straw-colored hair. One of them, the younger one, who looked around my age in his 20s, didn't say anything, but he looked so guilty, like he had just done something really wrong. The other one, maybe in his late 30s, early 40s, spoke up again and apologized for startling me. I can't explain why, call it a feeling, but their presence made the hairs on the back of my neck stand straight up. So on instinct, I reached into my bag and turned on my recorder. I apologize for the quality of the audio. Like I said, It was in my bag.
Now, you don't look like you're from around here.
I'm visiting. Can I help you?
Of course. Where are my manners? I'm Callum Carmichael. This is my nephew, Ethan.
At this point, he gestures to the younger man, who looks like he would rather be anywhere else.
I'm Mara. Mara Safi.
Nice to meet you, Mara Safi. What is a girl like yourself doing in this fine little town? And at the post office directory, no less.
I thought it wouldn't be a good idea to mention Ellie or anything close to what I was really doing there, so I improvised.
Well, actually, I'm a historian. I'm writing a biography about this town and its founders. I just wanted to take a look at this directory, to see if there's anyone I could talk to.
Well, you're in luck. My great, great, great. Now, I've gone and lost track of how many greats. Anyway, my ancestor, Jerome San Montaigne, was one of the founders of this charming hill. My brothers and I would be more than happy to answer any questions you might have. Come up to the San Montaigne Lodge. That's where I live.
San Montaigne Lodge. I saw that on a map of the town. That's on Founders Lane, right?
You bet, darling. Go right on down Founders Lane. And when you hit the fork, you take the leftmost road, and it'll bring you down to the lodge. Tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock sharp, we'll be expecting you. I should get going now.
Thank you.
I'm still coming to terms with what happened next. When Callum's phone chimed, he checked a text, I think, and was in a hurry to leave. His nephew was on his tail, but right before he left the post office, he turned around, looked at me, and spoke. But his lips weren't moving. I could hear him in my head. He was whispering in my head. Clear as day, I heard him say, "Be careful." It couldn't be a coincidence. What were the odds that I would go down to the post office to find out more about Ellie and the Carmichaels and be intercepted by some Carmichaels? And then that freaky stuff with a book and the mind talking, for that to happen? The worst part is, I think my grandfather tried to warn me about this. There were some things in the notes he left that I've been hesitant to bring up so soon. Strange, fantastical things. I thought I'd get down here, talk to a couple of people, get a good feel on the town, and then bring up some more controversial material. But I've been here for 2 days, and things are already getting crazy. Dangerous. Still, I promise to document my progress on this podcast, so I'm going to have to tell you. I have to go now and prepare for my visit to the San Montaigne Lodge. But on the next episode, I'll tell you more about the recent accounts of bizarre, impossible incidents that don't sound so different from my own. Untold is written and produced by Maisha Razek. Theme and music by Ross Bugden. This episode featured guest voice Elias Hishma as Callum Carmichael. If you liked what you heard, consider subscribing or following our show.